dances and clubs, and you can entertain yourself, you know, and all of that stuff. But I was driving the box truck this morning, bringing the food. We'll unload it here in a little bit. And I was seeing people, you know, just coming down the road. And all of a sudden, I told God, I said, "Thank you, God. I said, I want to thank you that you have purpose in my life. God, that life is not just mundane to me. It's just not work Monday and Tuesday and, you know, and all of that. It's, you know," and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for giving all of us purpose, all of us purpose in life, you know, because purpose-driven people enjoy life. You know, if we're purpose-driven, you know, we'll enjoy our life and everything." And I was thanking God that this morning. And if you feel like you don't got purpose, begin to reach out to God and tell Him, "God, stir purpose in me, God. Stir it up in me, God. I want to have purpose. I want to live with purpose. I want to have," and you know, and it will cause you to enjoy life, but that's not my sermon, praise God. So if you're not believing God this morning, go ahead and shift gears and get in faith. Like I said, you can go entertain yourself, but the kingdom is not an entertainment center. The kingdom is a building center. I mean, it builds vision in our life, you know, and not just for ourselves, past ourselves, you know, to where we used to would take everything from everybody and then we walk around with money in our pocket looking for somewhere to give, you know, looking for somebody to help, looking for, because we want to be blessed to be a blessing. Fasting and prayer, Beth, you can start it because they're missing all this good stuff. I turned Facebook land, hallelujah. But God wants you to be a blessing. But see, if you're always need-minded, your needs, you're going to be miserable Christian. You can be a Christian, you know, and be miserable. You can be a Christian and stay miserable, you know. Or you can be a Christian and have purpose and have energy and have strength that comes from Him, that life, the Zoe life coming from Him. And I'm going to be talking about prayer and fasting. I'm a firm believer on, you know, prayer and fasting. You know, the spiritual attributes. Fasting is part of a Christian's devotion to God. You know, and you have to get past the mindset. The mindset you can't do it. I got this. I've got that. I've never been able to fast. You got to get out of all of that, and you've got to put it as a part of your devotion to God. You know, have it as a part of your devoting yourself to God when you're fasting, you know. And there's a lot of things that we can fast and pray. And prayer, Teresa was talking about prayer. And I was thinking about this morning on the way to church, I was thinking about the power of prayer. The Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man does a lot of things, avails much. And I was thinking about your situation with Chloe, and I ain't getting into all of that. And I was thinking this morning about it, because I knew a little about it, you know, and I was thinking this morning, I thought, you know what, if there's any demonic forces that is involved in our children, in our grandchildren, in our prayer and fasting, a lifestyle of prayer and fasting will put you in a different spiritual position. It puts you in a position, it helps you to stay in a position a power, hallelujah. And prayer, I mean, I've always fasted for my ministry, not even here for, I've only been here 22 years preaching, but I've been ministering for 30, going on 31 years. And when I was evangelizing in streets, and I counted, they had a sign at my church, and when we drove out, they put it up, I don't know how long after we started going there, but they put it up and it said, "You're entering into the mission field." And it was when you was leaving, you know, and I thought, entering into the mission field, man. This world is a mission field. I never had the concept. So I went about trying to win everybody to Jesus outside of church. See, and I told my sister one time, she said, "Well, you don't got to go to church to be a good Christian. I'm going to try to get on church." But y'all were drawing it out of me, something else. "You don't have to go to church to be a good Christian." I said, "Well, where?" I said, "Where is the lost? Where, if you run across somebody, you're supposed to win the lost." I said, "You're supposed to be witnesses." I said, "Where are you going to tell them to go to church if you're at home and they want to go to your church?" I said, "Because maybe you have been saved for 25 years, but they hadn't. Maybe you know how to pray, but they don't. Maybe you know how to fast, but they don't. You know, are you going to bring them to, I said, that's ludicrous. I said, find you a good Bible-based church and get in it and be planted in the house of the Lord so that those outside, when they say, where do you go to church? You know where you go to church. And if you're having a hard time going to church, then I've got the message for you today to kill that flesh. I guarantee you go on a 3-day fast, you won't talk much. But you'll get spiritually stronger. I mean, you'll get spiritually stronger. If I go on over a two or three days, you know, I get to where I don't even want food. It's like this food is better than that food. It's like my spirit man, just like, only way I can explain it, y'all remember Popeye, the sailor man? He'd get whooped by Pluto, and then they pop him out of whatever his name is. Yeah. They get whipped up by him big time, and then he's squeezing him nearly to death, and all of a sudden, here out pops a spinach. And man, he get that spinach, and boom, 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 and then Pluto, boom. That's the way our spirit man does when we're fasting and praying. When we're fasting and praying. So, you know, my church where I went to, they did it pretty often. And I'm going to challenge you today to let's go on a fast. Let's fast as a church, you know. And they did, you know, and I thought, that's stupid. What, doing without food, what is that? I thought, that's stupid. Why starve? God understands I get hungry, man. I mean, you know. But I didn't really understand all through the Bible, even when Monty brought us and taught us about Esther and all of them. See, she, Ruth, and no, it was Esther's one I'm talking about. When she went before the king, she had them all to fast. They went on a 3-day fast. And she wouldn't go in before the king, had them all to fast. And see, fasting will give you favor in terrible situations. She went before the king and they were all spared. But my point is, she told them, let get all the Jews together and everybody fast. In case you don't know what fasting is abstaining from food. You know, and I didn't know. I mean, I drank water and a lot of times, you know, when I'm fasting, especially if I'm going a long time. But when I first started fasting, I thought fasting, doing without food and water. So I'd go 3 days. My lips would shrivel up, parch up, and crack up, and dry up, and it seemed like when I remember the worst times, it is, I mean, you feel weak spiritually, I mean, physically, you're going to, and it's even in Psalms, you know, it's agony to your flesh man, but it is strength to your spirit man. But I can tell you, praise God, I believe with all of my heart that was part of my devotion. It was not a ritual thing to me. Because, see, I hadn't been raised in it. I heard about it. They brought out scriptures in the Bible about it. And then I thought, well, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to be, that's going to be part of my spiritual walk with the Lord. As part of my devotion, so I just tell the Lord when I'm fasting, God, I just set this day aside, Lord. I set this day aside to fast, God, to get to know you more, God, to get tuned in to you, God. Or if I'm fasting for somebody. I'll go on a fast and I'll say, God, I bring this before you in this situation, God, and I'm abstaining from food, Lord, and I'm believing to hear from you and have direction from you and inspiration from you. Because when you're fasting, it helps you to be more God attentive. When you're fasting, I mean, believe me, your flesh will go, hurt, and you'll be like, no, I'm doing this for God. All day long, you'll be like, get a hot dog. You'll be like, no, I'm doing this for God. All day long, you'll have your mind on God more fasting than you ever had in your life, probably. Hallelujah. You will desire breakfast for supper. I don't really care for broccoli and all of that, but if Teresa boils that on my fasting day, I am scarfing it down. I mean, that, you don't even have to put no seasoning on it. Just eat it. Right? But fasting is a part of our devotion to God. It's part of, my church up there, they did it, you know. I mean, there was a lot of people there, about, 150, 200, something like that, you know. And so everybody, we'd go on a month fast easy. Everybody got quiet in here. That's not 40 days like Jesus for one person. But you know, one would say, I'm tomorrow. Other would say, I'm Tuesday. I'll go Wednesday. I'll go Thursday. I'll go Friday. And then there's like, well, let's skip the weekend. And then, you know. And so there was fasting going on all the time. But we seen moves of the Holy Spirit in that church on a almost every service basis. I mean, there was times whenever I would, during praise and worship, after I kind of killed the flesh because I was kind of jealous of the praise team leader in Teresa. But you got to understand, I come out of the world and I was just jealous. Nobody ever did nothing. I had no reason other than me. But during these times, it come to the point to where all that was nothing to me. I got, you see, the presence of the Lord began to transform me and begin to deliver me and deliver me and deliver me and deliver me. And that's why you need to go to church. Deliver me and deliver. You're getting delivered right now. I feel it in the atmosphere. I feel breakthroughs in the atmosphere, spiritually, first spiritually. You know, but, before I got a lot of spiritual breakthroughs, I was doing things in the natural, spending time with the Lord, praying. I was fasting for the ministry that I was in, evangelizing. You might say, well, I'm not in the ministry. Yes, you are. Every one of us have been given the ministry, somebody say ministry, of reconciliation. Every Christian has been given the ministry that's ministry. See, we can't just think of ministry behind the pulpit, you know, or teaching or playing to get Bess in ministry back there. She's working right now. She's working the media ministry right now. She's working in that ministry, you know. That's not just running the computer. But every one of us has got a ministry in our lives. Every one of us are partakers in a body that God sets us in. We're partakers of His divine nature that He's pouring out in those services. And then those opportunities to serve one another, like Teresa talking about love, you know. I mean, people have told me, man, I've never seen a church so unified as yours. And I said, well, the only thing I can say is they chose to walk in love. He said, well, and they would always say, well, the leaders, usually they're like the leader. And I said, well, I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to love my enemies. I said, I learned how to love my enemies. And I learned how to forgive through praying and fasting to break the strongholds that were in my life. And I thank God for my church. So I'm not going to be a leader, especially the Holy Spirit telling me last night and this morning to minister on fasting and praying. Because that, I'm telling you, will see breakthrough spiritually in your life. Hallelujah. I mean, you got to renew your mind. I mean, I was like, oh, man, I'm being honest with you. I thought I don't want to teach on that. Some of them don't like it. I don't like it. You know? I'm thinking, man, I'd rather teach them on finance. Blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the... But that's how you get it. Well, I just kind of forced myself to look up some scriptures. I did not want to. I'm just being honest with you. And so, but you know, the more that I wrote scriptures and read them, I thought, man, if I hadn't have done eat, I'd fast today. I honestly had that thought, and it got me so stirred up about, in my spirit about fasting, I thought if I hadn't already eat cooked breakfast and eat it, man, I would start now, and I'd fast clean through church, man. Well, why am I telling you? Faith comes by hearing. You're going to hear it. It's going to stir you on the inside like that word did me this morning. And then that spirit man is going to override that flesh man and that and whatever it is, praise God, and your life is going to be transformed. Because we're not hearers here. This church is notorious for being doers of the Word of God. Every one of y'all, I've seen every one of you be doers of the Word of God. Hallelujah. But put that Matthew 6 up there, Beth, please. Moreover, when? Some people says, if I do. Jesus didn't say, moreover, if y'all decide to. He said, moreover, when you do it. He said, don't be a Tracy brought this up this morning about the Sadducees and Pharisees and all of that. They were devoted to fasting. I mean, they described my wrong motives, and that's what he was talking about in Isaiah. We'll get over there a little bit. But he said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites and sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces as men to fast. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, somebody say, when I do.
When I do.
Not if I do, when I do. Right. We do it often. Hallelujah. Renew your mind to it. I mean, let it get in a lifestyle of doing it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when y'all anoint your head and wash off that, what that means is, I don't let nobody know. Teresa's the only one that knows, usually, if I'm fasting. But I have seen people sad, and I'll be like, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm just on a fast. And I'm like, well, the Bible says don't do that. You'll wash that off. Wash it off. And what he was saying there, go ahead and put oil on you. Do your hair like you normally do. Wash your face in the morning like you normally do, and don't whine all day because you're having to fast for God. I can't do nothing. I'm fasting. He said they have their reward. He said that thou appear unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. That's my point right there. I want you to know, if I go on a 2 or 3 day fast, I don't let Teresa just cook supper, because she usually cooks supper most of the time, you know. But I'll let her know ahead of time, you know. I'm not going to be eating tonight, you know. And so that she won't prepare all that and all of that. And I don't expect her not to prepare a meal for herself because I'm fasting. See, I don't, you'll get to the point to where it don't bother you to be around people because you know they're fasting, and go ahead and hog down your hamburger. You can. You're not trying to taunt them. See, you got to determine, and they got to determine, this fast is something, is a discipline. And I'm disciplined. I don't care who's it. I can sit down in the restaurant and everybody eat, and I sit there and drink my ice water, and they never know I'm fasting or anything, and I can sit in the middle of those meals and not eat. Why? Because it is part of minding your devotion to God. It's just like we get saved and somebody says, come on, man, let's go to the bar. And you're like, no, we're not going to the bar. Why not? It's my devotion to God. Right? That's the way fasting is. It's my devotion to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, anyhow, God rewards. And I thought, I was thinking about this morning. There was miracles that I saw on the streets of Bunyana right down there. You know, I would fast every week for that ministry that God had allowed me to be in as an evangelist. On the streets, the jails, I won hundreds of men and women to Jesus Christ in the jails. I mean, I should have counted them. I went 3 years, and I mean, it was just every week, you know, I was winning people to Jesus Christ, hallelujah. You know, and amazing to me that God would put that kind of anointing on somebody that had been bad as I was and still jacked up as I was. I hadn't been saved long, 6 months. You know, and it was amazing to me at the glory that I saw God do. And I knew that it was Him. I knew that it was Him. But I believe with 100% in my heart that it had a lot to do with the fasting and the praying. It kept me humble. It kept me needing God. It kept me depending on God. And I would focus in on that ministry. And I would tell God, God, I'm setting this day aside for the ministry that you put me into, God. You need to do that. I don't care if you're a wife at home, stay at home. That's your ministry. Your ministry is to raise your kids. I want somebody that's a ministry. Y'all ladies, ministry to love your husband. I mean, you know, be devoted to him. And husbands, that's a ministry to love your wife as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it. That's ministry in our life. That's ministry to our, I knew that at a young age that Travis didn't belong to me, Mac. That I read in the Bible that children were a blessing from the Lord. You know, and I realized, Mac, that he didn't belong to me, really. That he was a blessing, and God had put this young boy in my life. He had put him in my life for me to father as a God figure to him, you know, to train him up in the way that he should go. And so I always had, and I believe prayer and fasting often kept me in tune with the Holy Spirit in a lot of things concerning that stuff. Why? Because I was devoted to God. I was devoted to the ministry. And I've seen people get born again. I've seen, there was this one lady come to she lived down there where the old Wrangler plant was in Onionda, the sewing factory, I guess what it was. Lived over there somewhere, I don't know, it's probably 3 or 4 or 5 blocks from where I was preaching. You know, and she kept hearing the preaching. I don't know how clear she could hear. I don't really know about all that, you know. But she told them she was bedridden. And I would pray and fast, and I would say, God, I thank you when I go on the streets, God, that I will see signs, wonders, and miracles, God, that you're going to work. You're going to work with me through signs, wonders, and miracles, just like you did the apostles and the prophets. And you know, and I mean, I'm not consciously thinking God is really going to do all this stuff. Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, I'm kind of wondering if he will. He did it in there. They told me in my church he would. So why not do it and see? So at this moment, it's not that I've really seen a lot of God's glory. But this lady, she comes down and They tell her, I don't know if it was her grandkids or her kids, but she tells them, listen, I want to go down there where that man is preaching on the streets. See, the Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Wherever you're at is not because you decided to be there, more than likely. In your job, who you're married, I know that I'm married to the right woman. Right? And I'll say it every day because she's going to have this man for a long time. You know, as I say it every day, thank you, Lord. The Bible says that long satisfied life will you give me? And then I don't say it like that. I say, thank you, Lord. You have already given me long satisfied life, and I am enjoying your salvation, that part of it. Now my body's getting older, but I'm not getting older in here. Hallelujah. I'm the best thing that ever happened to my wife other than Jesus. And some of y'all are like, I don't know if I could say that. My wife might have been better off. Well, you think too lowly of yourself. You're created in the image and likeness of God. Right? Fasting and praying begins to break that unbelief in that stuff that would cause us to see ourselves less than what God sees us. Fasting and praying will break that unbelief. I believe I'm the best thing ever happened to y'all other than Jesus. Boy, you're just braggadocious, ain't you? I'd have been telling you all about the one that causes me to feel that way, didn't I? I've been glorifying him, hadn't I? I know without him that I'm nothing. I know without him I can do nothing. But I know fasting and praying in the presence of God makes you a giant. I mean, it makes you feel like I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can build my trail. I can put that. I can. I can do ministry. I can preach. I can be a submissive wife. Teresa says it every day. I hear it just about every, not every day, but most of the time when she's doing her script, God, I'm secondary to my husband. I'm submissive to my husband. God, and I'm thinking this is a miracle. Miracle. For years I was told I only lived in that joint. I didn't own nothing. I let you live here. This is my car. Go up there and build me a shop and come up there and need to clean out my shop. And I'm like, well, this is mine here. I'm like, miracles happen every day, Mac. She's staying in that word. She might not have knew it's going to happen, but zam! Now she's submissive. Woo, hallelujah. Now I'm being funny, but God, I'm telling you, the Word of God works. Hallelujah. The Word of God transforms. The Word of God goes out and does what God sent it out to do. And when God sends it into your heart and out of your mouth over your family, over your kids, over your grandkids, when He sends it up in your spirit over your finances and you speak it out like God, then God does it. Well, see, fasting, okay, He rewards you. Give me the Isaiah, Beth, please. That little lady comes down there, out there in a van. They come over to me and they said, hey, Brother Scotty, there's a lady here that wants you to come and pray for her. And I looked at my clock and I start at 7 and it's about 3 minutes till 7. And I don't hold off nothing. 7, we starting at 7. I done figured out if I told them at 7 and we start at 10 after waiting on somebody, I lied to them. And I figured I'd been a liar for 27 years and I'm sick of being a liar and I won't be speak truth. So I thought, man, I've got 3 minutes. So I run across that parking lot, I'm 27. I run across there, man, and I just get up over to that van where she's at and I just grabbed her by the hand or foot or whatever it was. I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. I command this body to be healed. I rebuke this, and I took off running, man. Because I'm like, man, I'm going to start it straight up 7 o'clock. And I took off. I wasn't running. I was walking pretty fast across there. And this woman outruns me and goes and gets the microphone and starts preaching. She got healed. I didn't even do it. I thought, man, I didn't even do it. I didn't think I was serious. I'm just getting this over with. Where I can get. Her faith made her whole. She thought, if I can just get down there and that man pray for me. See, you want to be in a place, fasting and praying puts you in a place where people will be like, I got to go out, I got to call Chris on this. I got to call, because they know that you know God. People that wouldn't have nothing to do with me, that was in the churches, Mac, down there, that I worked for, they were called the big dogs. Y'all know what the big dogs are? The ones that seem like they got everything going on, and you down on the bottom, and you working for the big dogs. You know, all these big dogs, but all the time, the same job that I had, I would fast and pray. I was toting sheetrock that day, and they left the water on down on the ground, and I'm putting sheetrock, and it's in August, man. It's like 90-something degrees this day, hot, and we're in the attic. I mean, they didn't have the insulation or nothing, and they were putting the sheetrock in the building, hot in there. Man, and I mean, I'm fasting, and I'm on my third day. I done made it 3 days, you know, and I'm feeling good, you know, and praise God and all of that. But my lips were done cracked and parched. No water or nothing. Thank God for Blue Springs water. Woo! Man. Well, I go down and I'm fixing to get another piece of sheetrock, and I hear water running, Mac. And I look down and I could have killed them bricklayers if I hadn't been saved. They left the water running in a 55-gallon barrel and it was running over, started running over. Almost, I thought, man, I ought to just dive off of here, poof, right down in that and suck the whole 55. You feel like you can after 3 days of no water. You feel like you could suck that baby dry now, you know. But see, I know I shouldn't have did that. Later on, I drank water and stuff, you know. But you know what? You know who honored that? God did. God honored that. He healed that lady on the street. Thunderstorm coming one time, and it was on a Friday night, and James Spann turned it on, and it's all a line of thunderstorms, and it's going to be all night long. And I mean, I've got my sermon God gave me for the streets on a Friday night. I was going on the streets, and I turned the weather on, and I mean, it's just a line of thunderstorms, and it's already raining and everything. And I'm down there, and I'm telling God, you've given me this message. I said, God, stop the rain. God, stop the rain. You could say, God, stop these demons. But he's already stopped them. The rain's already stopped, and the Lord spoke to me. See, fasting and praying will help you stay in tune with God. And you'll hear what he's saying. And then you respond to what he's saying, and then bam, things happen. Well, the Lord spoke. He reminded me of Jesus being in the hinder part of the ship. Teresa brought it up. But asleep in the storm. And some scholars say it was like hurricane force winds that boat had got in while Jesus was asleep in the bottom of that boat. And I don't know. I hadn't studied it. That's what some say. But it says it was boisterous and all of that, and it was filling the ship. And they go down and they speak to Jesus, wake him up. And he comes up, you know, and he says, peace be still. And it all stopped. And then he got on to them. In other words, Jesus was like, I've been teaching y'all all this stuff, all this time, man. Come on, y'all start doing some of this that I'm saying. If you'll start doing, y'all should have did this. You should have spoke to that. He had already told them, well, I knew about that, and Jesus speaking to that, you know, and told them that that they should have did it, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, God, stop the rain. I want to go tonight. I want to go preach, you know. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you speak to it. You command it. I thought, me? See, that's our problem. When God says you can be wealthy, and you say, oh, no, you just don't know me. You see, that's you're the problem. I'm the problem. See, I'm thinking, nah, man, I work at J&H. Nah, man, I'm a Weston. Nah, man, I mean, you know, there was 17 of us, man. I ain't never had no power. The Lord said, you speak to it. So I got up. I thought, glory to God, whatever God says, but God, that's what I'm going to do. So I got up, prayed God, and I walked over to that window, and I spoke to it. I said, you line of thunderstorms, I command you to cease in the name of Jesus. I'm going out on the street tonight, and I'm going to preach tonight. Hallelujah. It was pouring down rain, wind blowing, and all of that thundering and lightning. And so I go out and get in my truck, you know, get ready. I get soaked getting out there to the van. I had a van. I believed for a van. Got a van. And now I'm got to go all the way over to a church and borrow a couple of speakers, get a couple of speakers. And then I got to go down there and put them out. And so I'm like, I guess this is what faith means. Walk by faith, I guess. I'm not going by what it looks like. So I drive all the way over to that church. I get those speakers out. I put them in the van. I start the onion, and I'm driving up that hill. And it's raining so hard till the water is that deep across the road there right before you get over into Oneonta, to the point to where you almost got to stop because it's washing you off the road. I got fall off the hill, and my mind is saying, you're stupid. You should have stayed at home. See, but you know what? I'd been fasting and praying, and I knew on the inside that I'm walking by faith. I didn't know how I knew it. You know, don't get so fixated on, and you know the word, and been to church all your life, that you're not sensitive on the inside to the moving of the Holy Spirit. And so I get there, you know, and I drive off, you know, and I mean, my windshield, you can't run but 10 miles an hour. But when I pulled in on that parking lot, the minute that I pulled in on that parking lot, it did not rain another drop on just on the parking lot for an hour and a half that I'm aware of, not one drop. I watched a wall of rain around that whole parking lot. I know it's hard to conceive, but it happened to me. If people pulled in water running off of their cars and pulled in, they just enough room for them to get in out of the rain. Some of them were sitting in the rain and water run on their cars and washed off except for the front part. See, I'm a firm believer in prayer and fasting. I'm a firm believer that it tunes us up to the Holy Spirit and the voice of God. I'm convinced that it will cause us to discern thoughts better. Hallelujah. It would cause us to discern the times that we're in. Praise God. But that Isaiah there, he says, is this not a fast that I've chosen? To loose bands of wickedness. Come on, somebody. Fasting looses bands of wickedness. Undoes heavy burdens. See, when you're fasting and praying and you're burdened down, I mean, it'll set you free. It'll help you get free. It'll undo heavy burdens. It lets the oppressed go free. And that you break yokes, not him. You break yokes. Well, we ain't been taught fasting. You don't have to. You might read your Bible. Just because your church don't teach it. That my church didn't teach me a lot about prosperity, Matt. They were more on missions and reaching people, and all of that's good. They didn't. I got that through Scripture and through hearing other ministers minister it and me go to the Bible. And so I got a lot on prosperity out of the Bible. I'm convinced that the generous person will be made rich. I didn't say it, God did. The generous soul. That's why Satan keeps us poverty-minded before we get anything. He tries to keep us in that mindset till we can't do nothing. We can't have nothing. We're barely getting by. This is all we can have. He tries to keep that kind of mindset in you so you won't believe that God can bless you abundantly, above, greater. But the one that begins to give is the one that begins to increase. Tithing is part of, you know, I mean, I thought these stupid greedy preachers are not going to get, after I got saved, these stupid greedy preachers are not going to get my money. And I go and I was a dollar man. I don't care what I made, a dollar, and that church is lucky to get, I better be glad I'm here or they wouldn't have this dollar. pretty bad, Mac. You know, and then I get on in there and find out in the Bible that tithing was all the way back to Genesis. Don't say nothing about tithing. But God said, you can have all of these, but leave this tree. Don't eat of this. This belongs to me. So you can see it all the way back in Genesis that God had a part that he didn't want them partaking in that. You know, and then when I found out about tithing, I went in there and studied it, and I thought, well, but God, you know, he said he would increase the fruits of my right standing. And, you know, the light bill at the church will be paid. You know, and this will happen. And then, lo and behold, they want to buy 10 acres of land for $100,000 back there. And I thought, man, here, trying to suck some more of my money. If I give into this right here, how am I going to ever get me some stuff? You know, I mean, I'm thinking, man, I'm just now, God's blessed me. Now I'm making $400 a week, first time in my whole life. I'm making four, and they want an offering every week, and they want me to go take it up. And I'm like, how can I take it up? I'm not partaking. Well, ain't God smart? But see, what I didn't know, my land and stuff relied on that. My house, my cars, my life, my substance was relying on me getting in and letting God get involved and fasting and praying to begin to break all of those yokes of unbelief and all of that stuff. And the Word began to renew my mind. It works all in conjunction together. That you is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Give me the next one, Beth, whatever I got. I got to hurry. Okay, the next one then, whatever you got. I done forgot. And he began to teach by the seaside, Jesus. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into the ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea and the land. And he taught them many things in parables, saying to the doctrine, hearken, behold, went sower to sow. And it came to pass, that's not it. I wrote it down wrong. But Jesus, but love that, the story that was there that I studied into is where they brought the demon-possessed guy to Jesus and told him, he said, we took it to your disciples and they couldn't cast him out. He said, they couldn't cast him out. This ain't it. I can't preach that. I'm not anointed for that right now. And so Jesus immediately cast it out. He cast it out, and the disciples went to him and they said, Why could we not do it? See, Johnny, if you study it, they had been doing it. The disciples had sent them out, and they'd been casting out devils. Even said, woo, even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus said, rejoice not at that, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that you have eternal life. Don't be rejoicing too much over that. In other words, Jesus, that's going to be a normal part of your life, but eternal life is different. But he told them, they said, why could we not cast it out? He said, this kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. And I heard preachers preach, and then I got in there and got myself straightened out that was certain kind of demons and devils. There has to be some fasting and praying. That's not what that scripture says. He went on and explained it. He said, because of your unbelief. He said, you can't do it because your unbelief now. However unbelief has got in there. Well, he said, this kind of unbelief, right, comes out of us by prayer and fasting. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, right after that, he said, you'll speak to that mountain or that devil or that demon or that thing or that whatever. He said, and it'll obey you. But he said, this kind cometh out but by prayer and fasting. And when I read that, I'd heard it about, they said, preachers, you know, they're special devils. But when I read that for myself, I said, that don't say nothing about the demons. It says that he was oppressed by a demon, you know. But the casting out part, it don't say nothing about, you got to have a special faith to cast the devil out. Mark 16:17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. If you give your heart to Jesus Christ, then you are a believer. He said, and these signs follow you. You'll lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, drink any deadly thing and it won't harm you. That's believers. Well, see, fasting, I got to read this and I got to quit because we got to unload that truck. Fasting helps us keep unbelief going. Unbelief is dangerous, deadly to your spiritual life. I mean, unbelief is simply believing you're going to die when the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, you're healed. And that unbelief stops the healing power of God from working. Fasting and prayer are transformational spiritual discipline. When you're prayer and fasting is transforming you spiritually. It's disciplining you spiritually. It's helping you inwardly to be disciplined. You know? And when you're disciplined, I mean, you're in control. I mean, it'll help you in that manner too. Fasting humbles us. Fasting allows us to focus on God, and fasting is a part of our devotion to God. So I want to encourage you. You know, I'm going to fast tomorrow. If anybody wants to fast Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, Monday up for it, praise God. And that's what you want. Wednesday, praise the Lord. Huh? Tuesday. Thursday. Friday, she's fasting. Tomorrow? Monday? All right, good, good. And we'll bring it up again, and maybe we'll do it some more, praise God. And I'm going to believe God as we fast. We're fasting as a church. We're one mind, one accord, right, Book of Acts? We've all come in agreement on this, praise God, one mind, one accord. What happened up there when they all come in agreement, right? Spirit of the Lord came in like a mighty rushing wind, shook the house, praise God, fill them all with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to believe God for breakthroughs in your life. This church, breakthroughs in your finances, in your marriage, if you whatever case. We're going to start hearing the testimonies, praise God. And if you didn't do it this coming up week, praise God, maybe we'll continue it on and do it some more, praise the Lord. I'm not against it, hallelujah. But don't just wait on that. You know, fast. I mean, fast often, you know. Set time aside to fast for the Lord. Get, you know, your devotion to the Lord. We're going to do this as a family, a church family. But individual, do it when you want to, praise God. All right, let's bow our heads.